On this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, SPC 4A drama starts. Can the Eagles knock off the Knights of Episcopal? Does John Cooper have a prayer against St. John's? Can Central Catholic get it done against St. Thomas? And will Houston Christian get their get back against Trinity Valley? All this and more in the Week 6 preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another preview episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am fourth of your hosting crew today, Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder. You know, I'll skip their explanations for today. We are joined by what has become a recurring familiar face on the program. If you followed our off-season previews, you will remember, or really anything we've done in the past few years, Jack Klosek, lead SPC analyst for TXPS Media. Jack, happy to have you back as always. It would be unwise not to have you, as this is basically SPC week for us. Number one, how are you doing? Number two, how excited are you to cover some really big SPC matchups?
Wes, Walker, Ryan, always a blessing and always grateful to be back on the show. You guys saw me in the preview episode for SPC now back in August. Feels like it was just yesterday. We're 5 weeks in. With how SPC works this year, one more team is added into SPC 4A, so the big 4A matchups start this week. 3A stuff has been going on, and we'll talk some about that, but the meat of the 4A schedule is going to start, and we have two really big games this week. Three really big games, in fact, because these are all rivalry games. I'm doing well up at Columbia. I'm taking on a larger role with the football team this fall, doing some stuff with their social media, which is a lot of fun. And then, you know, just taking care of my studies and, you know, having a good time in New York City, but really looking forward to talking about some SPC ball.
Dude, Walker, Ryan, and I can tell you school ain't for studying. School is for a lot of things, but as long as you can pass, go ahead and fill your time with more interesting endeavors. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder, I know I said I'd skip you, but I felt bad after I said that. Walker, we'll start with you. How are you doing? And big week in private school ball. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been awesome, man. I'm excited. You know, the Astros lost today, so that's always a great day. And one more win, Detroit, please, I beg. And yeah, that's basically it. I just wanted to, you know, say the Astros lost, and that's all that matters to me.
Well, Walker, for at least another couple months, we are still the reigning World Series champions, and no one can ever take that from us. Ryan Schroeder, seems like busy times in Oklahoma City with the Thunder starting all their media stuff. How has the last few days been for you?
It's good. It's been a lot of prepping, a lot of planning for the season for us. First game coming soon for preseason. So just trying to balance that with everything going on in the TXPS world. TXPS world has been kind of crazy going into district play. I think every team will enter district play at the end of this week, or we'll have played at least one district game at the end of this week. So very exciting stuff.
Definitely so. And let's get right into those games. We're going to start with Episcopal at Episcopal School of Dallas. Episcopal out of Bel Air is a 20.5 point favorite. The beautiful thing out of this episode is I have like three less games of script because I can just let Jack take it away. So Jack, EHS at ESD. I actually have a lot of thoughts regarding this matchup, but I'm curious to hear your opinion first.
So I think ESD right off the bat is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. You get Benaglia back. I hope I'm saying that right. And Jake Jerky's back this week. ESD played a gauntlet of a non-conference schedule, minus Trinity Valley, who Trinity Valley is a good team in their own right, but, you know, playing up against a 4A opponent is going to struggle. But they played All Saints, they played Prestonwood, they played Second Baptist, and they played an IMG Academy team overseas in Ireland. You know, there's some talent on that team, but I think that they are not – their defensive line is not going to be able to stop the offensive attack of Episcopal. I think that Brody Barty has really stepped up for Episcopal, and Episcopal is another team that, you know, is 2-2, much better than their record indicates. Their losses are to Parrish, Episcopal, and West Orange Stark. West Orange Stark is a really top-notch program out of East Texas. I think that this is probably a two-touchdown game, a two-score game. You know, I think that Episcopal's defense really is going to shine strong with Matt and Morgan leading the way, as well as DJ Taylor, who's really locked down a ton of really good receivers. this year. And then on the offensive side of things, you obviously have Brandon Thomas, who's a top three player in SBC, as well as Garen Sampson and Logan Bartey in the receiving attack. I think that Episcopal should be able to put some points up. I do think, though, Hutch Chipman, who's going to Yale, as well as Dari Vanaglia, as well as Siler Cook, who just was recently offered by Miami of Ohio, I think that they're going to be able to put some points up as well. But I do think that Episcopal's defense ultimately is going to be able to o overpower some of that offensive attack. But, like we've seen the last 2 weeks, ESD's hung with Second Baptist and All Saints. All Saints and Second Baptist are very comparable teams to Episcopal. Episcopal has taken a step back from last year. Losing Tyler Blomgren was tough. I like Episcopal in this game, but the game is at the Episcopal School of Dallas. There's going to be some bus fatigue involved, as we always talk about. As somebody who's played at a Jerry Jones Stadium, that's a tough place to play. It's a good student section. I think that maybe, we were maybe the more talented team on paper. I don't know, when we played that team with Chase Kennedy and Jaden Robinson and all those guys, that was a good game. But we came in there thinking we were going to win, and we got it handed to us. Ended up getting bitten back in the regular season, or excuse me, in the playoffs. But I think this is going to be a good test. I do like Episcopal, like I said, but this should be a fun one. And both of these teams are better than their records indicate, and credit to them because they've really gone out and played some good competition in non-conference play.
Yeah, I agree. I'll start by saying that ESD might be the best 1-4 team in all of private school. I had really discounted how good they were until I watched them against Second Baptist, and then again via live stream against All Saints. So we have All Saints as one of the top teams in TAPS, regardless of division. And even without Jake Gerke, they went out and played very, very well, almost won. That was without Gerke or Benaglis. Siler Cook is a monster, dude. I remember. Whenever I think Jack, I think it was you that that helped us find more guys for the SPC awards. I looked at Siler Cook. I was like, I like him a lot. I need to know more about him. Siler Cook's very good. Gerke's good. Hutch Chipman is a monster on both ends of the field. It's just, and this took me a while to think about and get through. It's just, as much as EHS loses, they still have Brandon Thomas. They still have Madden Morgan. They still have the Bartees. They still have Cesarski. As much turnover as they had, they still have a lot of returning production, even if their names aren't Carson Gordon or Braylon Thompson. ESD is still poised to be very good with all the guys I just mentioned. I think it's a two-score game at most, but I have to agree. I'm going with the Knights. I'm not going to overthink this one. I could get cute and try and go crazy, but I've got a pick record to maintain. So I'm going to go with EHS Walker. There we go.
Go Knights, go EHS. I love the Barty to Barty connection, man. How Brody Bartee's kind of stepped into his own and figured it out pretty dang quickly. You have to be impressed. They play some tough competition. Legacy School of Sports Sciences was a game that you kind of are like with the talent they have, you think it's supposed to be a loss with like a first game at quarterback for the sophomore, and he steps in and becomes comfortable and does what he does. And so I think having him, Garen Sampson, Christian Houston and Tyler Cesarski and DJ Taylor, like they have some dudes on the defensive side and they've always had them, but I feel like this team is pretty good. And I think this is going to be the first big win for the new coach over there. And I'm excited to see it happen. Ryan?
I mean, I think you're exactly what we said is exactly right. ESD has played an insanely hard conference, non-district schedule. Sorry, gosh, don't know why I'm thinking that. Non-district schedule. Even LCSN has also commented on it. I just was scrolling through ESD's Twitter page, their football Twitter page, and literally on the top 10 toughest 11-man schedules, it goes Parrish, then ESD back to back. So if you want to know where they rank, ESD has been playing hard teams as well as SBS, who has played all of these SBC teams as well. But with all that to say, is like, ESD has put forth a super hard non-district slate, and on top of that, has scored 33 points on Second Baptist, scored 39 points on All Saints, and they're home here against Episcopal, right? Like they were those two games. I don't know, man. I'm not as high on Episcopal as the average person. I see the losses they've had. I've seen, the guys who have gone, who have graduated and gone on and stuff. And I don't know. As much as I love the Brody to Logan connection, I think it's awesome throwing you're a sophomore throwing you to your senior brother. I think that's kind of a really cool thing for the parents and stuff to, you know, I think that's all super cool and stuff. But it's hard for me to say that a Houston team's going to come all the way to Dallas with how much this ESD team has done to basically throw at themselves before the district slate. Give me ESD here. And yeah, I'm excited to see what the boys can do. I'm gonna need to get it done, and I really do have a faith in the what's called in the oh my gosh, please Jack, help me out with their
Eagles?
Eagles.
of course it's the Eagles. We're all the Eagles. We're
Eagles.
all Eagles.
It's they are the Eagles.
You did the thing I was too scared to do. I really wanted to pick ESD in this game. I'm just too much of a chicken to keep the bird. I think chickens are poultry, same thing, to keep that analogy going. I really do. I like that pick a lot. I think it's a close game. I think 20 and a half is too big of a number. I think it's probably a two
20
score
half is
game.
crazy. That's, I mean, it's
But every spread, by the way, episode disclosure, we don't make the spread. Stop coming up to me and complaining about the spreads at games. But yeah, I think it'll be close regardless. Moving on to another SBC 4A matchup, John Cooper at Houston St. John's, otherwise known as the team Cole Allen plays for. St. John's is a 32 and a half point favorite. Jack, what are we looking out for in this one?
Cole Allen to be an absolute dude. You know, one SBC coach recently told me, you know, outside of Dylan Bell, there's been nobody who's able to take the game into his own hands from a receiving standpoint, from a rushing standpoint, even on kind of their trick plays. He threw a touchdown pass against Lutheran South. Harvard is getting an absolute dude, and he's going to wreak havoc on my Columbia Lions for, you know, 4, 5 years to come. St. John's has, you know, their offense had some question marks with, I guess, with Shea Quinn taking over. He's left no more questions. You know, they played really well against St. Thomas, got a win. Houston Christian was a little, you know, iffy, but they took care of business. Then they went down and they played Calhoun, who's, you know, they run the split back veer team from the Coastal Bend from Port Lavaca. So, you know, if any of you guys have been down to Rockport, Corpus Christi area, right there, went down and took it to them, you know. Hung with Second Baptist, who's, you know, a really solid program, you know, and is a favorite in Taps D2. And then, you know, absolutely obliterated a 4-0 Lutheran South team that had probably been playing above their weight. You know, John Cooper's 2-3. You know, they played an out-of-state team. Concordia took it to them. You know, they do have wins against Cypress Christian and Legacy Preparatory Christian. You know, Legacy is in a freelance team and, you know, is struggling and working to get back on their feet. Cypress Christian's a little bit, you know, on the downside. You know, they lost to Heartbreaker to Lutheran South. You know, Cooper's taking a step back and they have a tough task. This is their first time playing an SBC 4A game. You know, they're used to, you know, conference playing the likes of Cistercian and Oak Ridge. And although Dean Calhoun, you know, is still that guy, and you know, they have some nice other pieces there. This is, you know, this is St. John's all the way. It's gonna be a bloodbath. And St. John's is gonna start district play the right way. You know, Coach DeHaven does a great job over there. We said before we started there were gonna be some growing pains, you know, joining SPC 4A. You know, they had five non-district games. They went 2-3. It's gonna take some time to get used to. You know, they have some good pieces there. They have some talented guys. But you know, St. John's with Coach Veltri leading that offense, you know, is really, you know, leading an absolute force. And St. John's, you know, really since 2021, that program has turned around. It's a team that's run a spread offense for less than 10 years. You know, they ran, you know, the veer for a long time. They ran the veer. I was at Kincaid, like I was probably in, you know, end of middle school when they switched over to a spread offense right before Coach Veltri took over. And he's really done a tremendous job with that program. So I got St. John's by a lot.
Yeah, definitely so. In that same vein, we kind of have a measuring stick for them. John Cooper lost to Lutheran South by about a touchdown or so. Who St. John's, like you mentioned, beat by 4 scores. The Dragons got torched through the air in that LSA game, but they held the run off pretty well. This leads me to think they might try and test Shea Quinn to air it out. The problem is he can air it out to Cole Allen, who can also run the ball, and Cole Allen can throw for touchdowns too. It's just
I don't see a path to victory here for John Cooper. And I know that's kind of in bad taste for me to do right after I picked them to lose last week to Cypress and they destroyed them. Dean Calhoun, obviously, who I now know is still there, is fantastic. Jake Sneed is a dude. They've got another guy at receiver that I like a lot that Walker will fill me in on when he does his stuff. But my takeaway is John Cooper is better than I expected they would be. But St. John's is a little bit better than I expected. And the starting implications for St. John's were a little bit higher. So I'm going to take St. John's unless Cole Allen transfers to John Cooper in the next 2 days. Give me the Mavs.
Ooh, this is gonna be a fun one. I'll give John Cooper some flowers because we haven't yet, and I do think this offense is pretty good. You know, Dean Calhoun is pure electricity, and you have Eric Sipko, Skylar Loggins, and others on the outside. Jake Sneed is turning into a true Division One prospect over there at John Cooper, and Colson Collins is a real deal. I like him over there, and he makes things happen. He's a true gamer, like I said last week. On the defensive side, they have weapons in the DB spots. Colton Roden at the linebacker position. They have some dudes over there. And for my pick, I have two words, Cole Allen. And that's all you really need to say about this game. That man is a superstar. He's one of the best we've ever seen come through the SBC ranks, especially and especially the TXPS as well. My prediction that's kind of bold is I do think this is going to be a close game at halftime. That's my prediction about this one. I think it's going to be a close game at halftime where it's a dogfight. And I think in the third or early fourth, I think Cole Allen puts on a show and then they start taking away the lead. And that's kind of how I see it. I still think it's going to be probably a 2-3 score game in the end, but I think it's going to be closer at halftime. But give me, what are they? The St. John's Mavericks. Yes, give me the Mavs. Ryan?
Yeah, don't give me the Mavs. Give me the Thunder. No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously though, St. John's is an incredible team. They're a Cannon Toon Hail Mary away from a 5-0 start to the season, right? You know, this is a crazy non-district slate of St. Thomas, Houston Christian, Second Baptist, LSA. You know, St. John's looks quite near the top of SBC 4A, if not the top. The one problem being the fact that it really is a Cole Allen offense, even in the struggles of losing that Second Baptist game, was it was just an all-out Cole Allen game. And it sucks to say that because I know there's 21 other guys or 20 other guys and stuff that, that start on this team, but it really is in the hands of Cole Allen to make this offense run, which is to their downside. However, there is no downside in that because Cole Allen just keeps running through people no matter which way or what. That happens, right? So, the one thing I'll say about John Cooper real quick is that yeah, obviously Dean Calhoun has been there since I've gone to SBC state championships to seen him. I mean, he's been there forever. But that's, I mean, it really is not enough to go up against Cole Allen. Cole Allen and Dean Calhoun is not comparable. And truly, I do have Cole Allen and St. John's by 40, maybe even 50. I don't think this will be necessarily close at all. That's a crazy thing to say on my part, but I don't think this game will be close. Give me St. John's.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Line's 32 and a half. I'm gonna be honest, I think that's accurate. Again, I don't like doing this because I love John Cooper. It's one of the first programs that ever showed us love. I love Coach Hoy, Coach DeHaven, and everyone involved in that program. It's just Cole Allen. I feel like this was the Cole Allen preview, and we'll see if that comes to light on Friday. But if I was a betting man, and I am, I think it will. Let us move on to our first non-SPC matchup of the day, Central at St. Thomas. St. Thomas is a 28.5 point favorite. The 3-1 Buttons will travel east to Houston to match up with the 1-3 Eagles. Central has had a solid start to the year, destroying Gonzales, Southside, and Savio, with their one blemish being at the hands of the rampaging Knights of Holy Cross. Sophomores Hall and Soto are still splitting snaps at quarterback following an injury to Garrett Tyser as the Buttons rely on a very balanced attack to put points on the board. Expect to see Joseph Carrion and Xavier Roulas get meaningful carries for Central as Soto is a capable runner as well. Central is going to need to score at a high clip to win this one. They're averaging 54 points in wins and were held to 17 in the loss to Holy Cross. However, St. Thomas has some weapons on the offensive end as well. Roy Thomas Jenkins had his best game of the year last week against St. Pius as he found Nate Tidwell for 140 yards through the air.
The Eagles also have several capable rushers in Granger and Waldron. I'm going to go out on a limb here and take St. Thomas. I know they're 1-3, but St. John's, Lake Creek, and Kincaid are quality opponents. And I don't know if I can say the same for Gonzales and Southside. Give me the Eagles making a statement that the South still runs through Houston. Walker.
Another hat on the day.
I don't think you have a central hat.
I have a St. Thomas hat. There and it says it on says it on the back, St. Thomas. There we go. Give me St. Thomas here. Yeah, Nate Tibble was a guy when we heard about him from Tap 7-on-7 being like, hey, he's going to be the guy who kind of replaces the Luke Edgecombe role for them, where he's going to be the guy who gets a lot of targets and puts up a lot of yards. And that connection is finally happening this week. The offense was kind of struggling for the first 3 weeks, and you can kind of see it finally now progressing. I heard their starting running back is officially back from injury this past week, so he's officially back, which is great news. And I think the offensive line was young, and I think they're finally getting under their feet and putting it together these next couple weeks. I think losing Garrett Tyser is a huge loss for them. Truly. I think Soto is a good player. Not going to lie. I watched him in the against Holy Cross where Kaiser did get hurt. And I think Soto will be better, but I without their starting quarterback, it hurts. And I just think St. Thomas has too many weapons around him. I'm excited to see a lot of those guys step up that we really haven't heard much about finally, hopefully, in this offense, and see Roy Thomas Jenkins throw the pill around a little bit.
Ryan.
I just want everyone in Houston to know that he wanted the Astros to lose, then proceeds to put on a Houston hat. So just everybody keep a note out there about Walker for that. But, hey, no, seriously, though, St. Thomas is truly coming to their own and stuff, even in the games where they played Kincaid. You know, Roy Thomas is still having an overall good game in the grand scheme of things, right? You are playing Kincaid and also Nate Tibwell, who looks quite literally incredible on the receiving end. With all that being said, I really just have to talk about how the fact that St. Thomas has been the top of the South of Division I for a while. They truly run it with a shutout victory against St. Pius in the start of their district. That kind of gives me the faith that I needed after starting out 0-3. Give me St. Thomas here. I'll go 2 or 3 scores, but it truly St. Thomas is coming to their own once again, and we'll see it here now as the district slate comes to a start as it starts up.
There we go. Jack Klosek, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, I watched St. Thomas play Kincaid, and, you know, it wasn't the same team that, you know, I played against. And, you know, since Kincaid started playing St. Thomas regularly in 2014, St. Thomas only lost to Kincaid 3 times. All three, the first 2 times that happened, Kincaid won SPC. We'll see about that later this November. But in all seriousness, St. Thomas, excuse me, played a really tough non-conference schedule, and that, you know, in terms of my picking strategy, that's a big thing for me. They put a really talented St. Thomas team. Lake Creek is a very good 5A program, would give most private school programs in the state a tough time, and, you know, my Falcons have had a nice start to the season. That said, they absolutely destroyed Pius. You know, Gonzales and Southside are lower quality public school opponents, and Savio is not a very good team. Holy Cross has taken quite a big step forward. You know, it's a good 3A program as well. And, you know, they have great stuff going on over there. I know Walker got to cover the Holy Bowl, which looked like a pretty special event. That said, though, I think, you know, you guys mentioned Tidwell and Roy Thomas Jenkins. I think that St. Thomas has taken a lot of steps forward last week against Pius. I also think that, you know, they had a bye week after going 0-3. They had, you know, a lot of time to clean things up. And Pius is down and, you know, is not kind of the same Pius we maybe saw 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. You know, they got a chance to get right. They played a rivalry, and Pius St. Thomas is a huge game in the Houston community. You know, and that's a big rivalry game between both schools. I like St. Thomas. We'll go a 4-person sweep in terms of St. Thomas. I think that St. Thomas gets it done. Central Catholic also has to travel into Houston, which is no, you know, we talk about bus fatigue, we talk about traveling, you know, that's not always fun either. I know Central Catholic's taking some steps forward. They got New Braunfels old head coach. You know, and they can put some points up there. But, you know, again, they've only beaten, you know, lower quality opponents and didn't play that kind of gauntlet non-conference. that St. Thomas did. Coach McGuire does a great job with that program. Walker and I got to touch base. So not that I wasn't there last year, but the year before. And they really do great things over there. And I got no problems, no qualms, no problems picking St. Thomas. I like the Eagles to get it done and move to 2-0 in district play.
Yeah, that 4-0 sweep always makes me incredibly nervous, but hopefully the Eagles can pull through and help out the pick records a little bit there. Moving on to another Taps on Taps mashup, a Division One North game, Trinity Christian Addison at Legacy Christian. Legacy Christian Academy is a 13.5 point favorite. Legacy is 5-1 coming off of a 56-27 loss to Parrish in the previous week. Ryan, I'm not asking you to make your pick now. I just wanted to get your guidance as you were on site. How did Legacy look last week in that game to Parrish?
I mean, so the basic thing from when I was telling everybody on kind of just like the recap and stuff was basically the fact that it was kind of close at the beginning, until basically Parrish took away with everything. But you could see the progression in Legacy over the years. Ian Pulte looks good, but when I talk in a second, Luke Lawrence is definitely someone that's on the rise, the backup junior as well as some other younger guys who I feel like add a lot of key pieces to this team. The defensive side has been good for years for Legacy. That has been their strong suit, going back to Norris and all the other guys that have been on that team on the defensive side. But it is a little bit different this year. Team looks a little bit different, obviously playing a way harder district. But yeah, I'll let you go first, and then I can run into mine.
Yeah, no, I was just going to give some background. TCA is 2-3, recently losing to Liberty 56-0. No shame there. Most teams in the state would. However, I like Ian Pulte, Corey and Gray, Sam Jones, and Marshall Tucker a lot. I've spoken at length about a lot of those guys. And TCA has had some significant injuries. I'm going to take the Eagles here. I'll save everyone's time. I've raved at length about Legacy, since I started watching them at the end of last year. Like Ryan said, a night and day difference from even the Legacy of like 2020, whenever they were kind of down the dumps from 2020 like to 2022. They look a lot better. Legacy traditionally has been a pretty good program, especially I remember back in like 2020. I like the Eagles here. I think Ryan's kind of preseason standard of undefeated in non-district, 500 in district could really come to play here. Give me Legacy to beat TCA Walker.
Give me Legacy. TC Addison was not injured to the extent that they were. This would be a closer game, but I really do for I think Legacy wins this by 2-3 scores, truly. You lose your star player Ryan Elms to a dislocated elbow. He's out for the pretty much the rest of the season. Zane Williams had a broken leg after week four. That's a huge loss for them. Their star guy who came over from Dallas Jesuit. And they had a couple other guys. I'm excited to see how Hunter Flatt does, the sophomore quarterback, who I think is going to be pretty good. We met Soren e we met he's going to be a good player in this game, but I do think this is going to be the time where Frisco Legacy gets their first win in Taps D1 and proves Ryan's prediction right and keep going 500. And I think this is a game they steal over injured TC Addison squad. Ryan, what are you thinking? I kind of have an idea of who you're going to pick.
Does anyone actually have an idea who I'm going to pick here? I mean, it's almost like I've been saying it this entire time since the season started, like y'all said. Undefeated in non-district came true. You get the start loss to Parrish, which you thought you were going to have, and now you got to win three games and figure it out, right? So, I truly think Legacy's prepared themselves and stuff. And after seeing them last week, I do want to go more in depth to the guys. Like Ian Pulte is obviously the starter. He looks good. I want to talk about Luke Lawrence, though. Luke Lawrence is the junior who's been backing him up. Luke Lawrence, putting himself on the rushing side as well, scoring in the Parrish game, but also he went 5 for 5 in his five throws in that Parrish game as well, whether that be in dead time or whatever, doesn't matter. But I just want to talk about another guy, the sophomore, Jaden Holland. He is the tight end. He is big. He is really big for 2027. I think he'll only get better as he continues for Legacy. He's been playing pretty well overall. In this last game, 4 catches for 50 yards. But the real guy who I definitely think is a key part of this offense is Jack Olson, right? Jack Olson. really the guy who's scored in the last three games for Legacy. He's also not a senior. He's a 2026, so he's a junior. And he's looked really great for them as well. Six catches, 92 yards, a touchdown the last game against Parrish. These are guys that are stepping up for this team. Obviously, the brothers. It is funny reading these last names because I recognize the last names. These brothers have some of my friends as well on the receiving corps. It is funny just to see how everything has turned out for Legacy this year. I still hold true to my prediction. The loss to Parrish last week means the win this week over TCA Addison. The boys are going to get it done. Legacy here are going to be the winners.
There we go, Jack.
I got Legacy as well. We'll make it another clean sweep. TCA really, since moving up, has struggled a little bit, and they've taken their lumps, going up from an indie team and then the last realignment cycle kind of moving up to that Taps D1, Taps D1 district. When you're losing to, St. Mark's by, a couple touchdowns. And no shade to St. Mark's, but that's just a kind of a program that's struggled, been at the basement of SBC 4A. They're banged up and they're on a little bit of a downturn. But just a couple years ago, like my senior year at Kincaid, they were a really good program. Legacy, on their other hand, was not a good program just 3 years ago, but now they really turned it around. They play a little bit of also, a weaker non-district schedule, but at the same time, they've obviously, capitalize on that and gotten good work in doing that. They hung with Parrish a lot more than I thought they would. And I think they get it done. I think they have a really good shot, especially against Nolan. Bishop Lynch, has also kind of been in that kind of treading water a little bit. I like Legacy to get it done. I think that they have a lot of talented pieces, as you guys alluded to. And I think TCA, unfortunately, is dealing with a lot of injuries and they're in a bit of a down year, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be cool to watch Legacy sneak into the playoffs and then get matched up with, some of those southern teams that typically aren't as good as the northern teams and really see if they can make a run there. I think that'd be really cool. I've spoken at length about how much I like that program. Moving on to the final game on the slate for this evening, Houston Christian at Trinity Valley, a game that I will be at for the second year straight. Houston Christian is a 6.5 point favorite in this game. Jack Klosek, what do we need to be watching out for in what's probably game of the year in 3A?
Well, I think a lot of us, and certainly myself, if we flash back to the Battle of Bryan Irvin, I picked Fort Worth Country Day, but Ben Nagishu had other plans, and he absolutely showed out. I think he had five touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. Trinity Valley, we knew was going to be down losing Maynard and Parkhurst, but man, with Fort Worth Country Day, putting up points in non-district, I wasn't sure how they'd fare against Trinity. I wasn't sure that, how Trinity Valley would fare against them, but Trinity Valley went out and took care of business. That said, Houston Christian, they go in and lose to Lutheran South, who I thought they'd beat, but then they turn around, they hang with St. John's, they lose again, and then they beat Pius by a field goal, so you're not really sure, what's what going into district. But then they go around, they smack St. Andrews, they smack Oak Ridge. I've been a fan of that program. What Coach Eisenman has done there, turning that program around, has been fantastic. I like the offense that Coach Webb runs with kind of the run and shoot. Anderson Jones and Bennett Mallory, are top receivers. RJ Evans has done a nice job filling in, taking over for Ron Rice. I think that that's a good team. I think that Trinity Valley's, although they got him in the SBC championship, they're down. Houston Christian's a little bit down too, but not as down as Trinity Valley is. I think that Houston Christian gets it done. And I also think, Houston Christian, they're gonna have a chip on their shoulder. Last time they squared off against Trinity Valley, it ended an absolute heartbreak, in Euless, Texas, at the Trinity Trojan Stadium. I think that Houston Christian still is the favorite to win SBC 3A. And SBC 3A is so tricky because, here we see you see Trinity Valley not get shut out by ESD. And we're not sure exactly what they're rocking with, but then they go out and they take care of business against Fort Worth Country Day. I think Ben Nagishu will have himself a game, don't get me wrong, but I still think Houston Christian eats this out by a score or two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And as much as I don't like it,
I'm still rocking with Houston Christian here. I was wrong in the state game last year. I could very well be wrong again in this game. It's just Greg Gerdy is such a monster on the ground, as well as Bennett Mallory at receiver. Houston Christian struggles whenever this offensive line allows a lot of pressure. So we're going to need to see what TVS dials up and if they can get that pressure to have a shot in this game. Ben Nagushi, we've already spoken at length about, is a monster. I first heard about him last year when they said how big of a jump he had taken from his sophomore to his junior year. We've seen he's taken almost the same jump from his junior to senior year, which is really impressive to see. It's going to be really interesting. I'm taking Houston Christian, like I said. I think it's close. The pick makes me incredibly uncomfortable, and I probably won't be welcomed very warmly into Trinity Valley after this pick and then picking against them in the Battle of Brian Urban. But, it's a hard life that we lead. But I'm going to take the Mustangs. Hope I am right, like I was in the regular season last year, and we'll just see how the 3A championship shakes out if we make it there. Walker.
Yeah, this is gonna be a fun one. This is for bragging rights. Kind of like last year, right? Where they went up to Fort Worth and Houston Christian won it last year in Fort Worth, and when it went back to Euless and Trinity Valley won that time. This is gonna be a fun one. I'm excited for this one. I'm gonna take Houston Christian. I think they're the better team in this one. I think they're gonna be a very good team. I love how Bennett Mallory and Greg Goodrie have stepped up. And so I'm excited to see those guys ball out a little bit. I'm still SES at heart, and you still gotta hate TBS a little tad bit in my heart. So how could I pick against Houston Christian this one?
Speaking of hating TVS, Ryan Schroeder.
Did someone say my name? No. I think the real problem for TVS is right is just the fact that you let 21 points from St. Andrews on you and stuff like that. I really don't think this is their game to win. To be pretty blunt, I think the only thing really on their side this game is the fact that this game is in Fort Worth. I truly think that Houston Christian's going to come out and get them. I'm actually a kind of a huge fan of RJ Evans. He's only a sophomore and is now in the last game against was St. Andrews. He had four touchdowns, two passing, two rushing. The Oak Ridge game was a little bit more of a Greg, what's his name? Greg Goodry.
Yeah, Goodry, we're gonna rock with that.
Yeah, something like that. That it definitely feels like the offense flows a lot more through Goodry now that RJ's come in and stuff. And I don't know if I think he was like what 10 for 23 in an interception against Oak Ridge, right? I think this game needs to go in Greg's hands, mostly because it is of that importance and stuff. But RJ does need to show up on the passing end in order to allow Greg to do his thing on the ground. With that being said, Houston Christian, give it to me by two touchdowns. Yeah, man, I don't see TVS getting it done. And if these two teams end up showing out in November, you can already book it right now. That'll be the exact same. It'll be the exact same way in November. I'm telling you right now, Houston Christian is the only team
Quit
that's beating
fanning the
TVS.
fire, dude. I'm the
No,
one that has to answer for all of this on Friday.
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you how it is. We're gonna look at what's it? November 8th is when they play. November 8th in the state championship when they both play each other. I mean, they're gonna win on Friday, and they're gonna win in November. I don't know what to
Dude,
tell you.
you
I don't know
could
what
have
to tell you.
stopped after saying that Houston Christian's gonna win and like saved us a lot of potential grief in like a
It's
month
not
here.
y'all. Come for me. I'm never
That
showing
can't
up to
go for
TV.
you. You're at OKC. I'm
I'm
going to
never
be there
showing up
on
to
site
TVS
both
anyways. All
games.
right. Cool. Did you pick TVS? Oh, I didn't think so. So it doesn't really matter
No.
anyways.
That's fair. You got me there. Anyways, we'll see. That's going to be a really fun matchup. I anticipate it's going to be the first of two games. We'll see. It's going to be a fun one. But that wraps up the slate that we have for this week. Jack, if you've been following any of the episodes, you know I've been grilling Walker on random albums, see if he can name an artist from these albums. This, I don't know if anyone is super familiar with the groups. I'm going to say if anyone can name me a single song by Weezer, I'll let you off the
Buddy
hook.
Holly.
There we go. All right, let's go home, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic album. We're going to start bringing that. Just earned Jack like two more episode appearances.
Gosh.
That name I would have also accepted. My name is Jonas, Only in Dreams or the Sweater song, but. Yeah, Weezer's Blue Album, an absolute classic. Go listen if you haven't already. But That being said, Jack Klosek, I'll let you have the final word. Thank you yet again for coming on. Super appreciative for everything you do for the program.
Absolutely. Thank you for the kind words, Wes. Always a treat to be able to join and chop it up with you guys. I'm excited for SBC 4A action. I think that ESD, EHS, I'm going to be watching that one. It'll be interesting to see if Ryan's right. I don't think that ESD has enough pass rush to be able to stop Episcopal's offensive attack, as I mentioned, but you know, we'll see. That's going to be a fun game. And just all around Texas private school football, not just SBC, it should be a fun weekend. Kincaid looks to extend their winning streak against St. Mark's since I don't even know how many years it is now, but the last time St. Mark's beat Kincaid, George W. Bush was president. So long time ago. And you know, that'll be at Norman Lamar Hunt Stadium over at St. Mark's. I expect St. John's to get it done. Houston Christian to get it done, and you know, should be a good week. As always, you know, it's a treat that we get to do this. It's not about us. It's about the guys that are suiting up, and you know, playing. It warms my heart to see guys like Cole Allen, you know, going to have, you know, opportunities after high school, play Ivy League ball. Same thing with the likes of Wayne Shanks or Jordan Manuel or Brandon Thomas. It's about those guys and giving them the credit they deserve. And, you know, Texas private school football is the real deal. So it's a treat for us to get to watch you all. You know, I'm just happy to be along for the ride. Thank you, guys.
Aren't we all? I appreciate it, Jack, as always. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the week 6 recap on Monday. See you later.